Welcome back. Second hour of the whole show rolling on this Tuesday afternoon. Reminder to the hooligans, I am off next week, taking the week off. I'll be off beginning on Friday. Merry Christmas to everyone out there, and I'll be off all week next week. Happy New Year. So take some time. Be watching the games, for sure. Staying around the area. Not going crazy or anything. Just taking the week off. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Jay Norvell reportedly has his target for defensive coordinator. Going forward from Football Scoop on Monday, they posted this out. Defensive coordinator, potentially, they're targeting defensive coordinator for Montana State. Freddie Banks. An inside source is letting that news out there. We saw it on DNVR Rams, saw it on the Fort Collins Coloradoan. All right, there you go. See if he's any good. Freddie Banks, defensive coordinator from Montana State. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Who knows? Who knows? I mean, Montana State this year, we got to see him. We got to see him firsthand with the UNC Bears. So that was kind of interesting. You know, is this team... Montana State was pretty damn salty, right? In that Big Sky Conference. I think they were, gosh, what were they? 7-1. Great team. Did some big things all year. Looking to do even bigger things going up against North Dakota State. Win the whole damn thing. When is that? I think we're going to carry that, Michael. January 8th, the FCS Championship. They beat, who did they? They beat the other Dakota. They beat South Dakota State, 31-17. It's a good defense. They held the Bears to 7. They've held a lot. They held a lot of teams to 7. Weber State scored 7. Idaho State scored 9. Not many teams put up a lot of points against Montana State. Their worst game defensively was when they lost to Montana. They gave up 29. Outside of that, their worst game defensively was 20. They gave up 20 to Eastern Washington. They beat everybody on their schedule except for Montana. And then rolling through the FCS playoffs, beating Sam Houston, which is where our boy Ellison Hubbard's going, right? And then beating South Dakota State last week or over the weekend. So you might say they're pretty good. I'm interested. Freddie Banks, defensive coordinator out of Montana State. This is his first year with the Bobcats as their defensive coordinator and defensive backs coach. I would say started his career off with a bang. Stickman texting in, hey, a plus for Broncos fans is that they again this week and last week get to cheer for the Chiefs to help the Broncos' playoff hopes keep them alive. Broncos country's turning into Chiefs kingdom. You just root for what's necessary, my friend. That's what you got to do here. You do need the Chiefs to win some games because they're going up against a... Obviously, you don't want them playing for anything. They got the Dolphins on the second. So that's going to be a big one to be watching out for. Chiefs play on Thursday night, don't they? Or no. The Chiefs don't have the Dolphins. What am I thinking? They don't have the Dolphins left. Who do the Chiefs have left on their schedule? Obviously, the Broncos in that final game of the season. That's right. They have the Steelers, don't they? Where was I getting the Dolphins? Why was I thinking, did Angel say that yesterday? I don't know. What's going on? They have the Steelers and the Bengals. So you need to root for the Chiefs to win out, save for the Broncos game, so that they can, A, secure, well, I guess, A, knock down two teams in the Steelers and the Bengals. But also win the division so they're not playing for anything. That's it. Yeah, you're right. We all got to be rooting for the Chiefs coming up here when you watch this playoff race unfold because you need the Steelers to lose at least two more games because they have the tiebreaker over you. Yeah, the Bengals, who knows where they're going to end up. This is nuts, man. Chiefs at 10-4. What did the game, even yesterday, the extra Monday game, the Raiders-Browns game, What did that do? That moved some things around as well. The Raiders are now 7-7. And it's going to be a tight finish here. Buffalo sitting at 8-6. They're holding down that seventh spot at 8-6. The Ravens are on the outside looking in. Steelers, Raiders, Dolphins, Browns, then the Broncos. Three teams are officially eliminated, and that's the Jets, Texans, and the Jags. The NFC is pretty crazy, too. Bit more of a clear picture, at least, is going to get in, but they only had two teams eliminated. But you know the Giants are still in that mix. The Giants are technically not eliminated yet. They're 4-10. Panthers are not eliminated. Seahawks are not eliminated. Wow. Falcons, Eagles. There's a tight race there for that, you know. The Rams are 9-4. But outside of that, when you go to that 6th and 7th spot, that's up for grabs. San Francisco, they're sitting at 8-6. And the Vikings right now are in a playoff spot at 7-7. They've got that extra spot. Green Bay is the only team to have clinched so far in the NFC. Stickman says Hill and Kelsey are on the COVID protocol, COVID safety protocols right now. So that's, yeah, as far as rooting for the Chiefs to get wins and securing that spot, I don't know. Boy, wouldn't that be something? Broncos beat the Raiders, they beat the Chargers, and they find a way to make that Kansas City game essentially a playoff game. End all be all. They break the streak to get in. That would be something. I'm very excited about this. I Broncos for country, I know you're ready for this season to be over. I was kind of too. But now with Teddy out, you know, I look at it and say, hey, there's something intriguing to watch. This is intriguing to me. I don't know what Drew Lock's going to be capable of. He turns it over. I get that. I don't know that his reading defense ability is fantastic based on a read option play that shouldn't have been called. He's not good at reading defenses. But I want to see something. Go out with a bang here. Let's not just trot along hoping for a field goal every freaking drive. Let's not do that game anymore. Let's do something. Go out with a bang, Vic Fangio. I don't know if you're going to be the head coach next year. This should be the poll question tomorrow. Who has a better chance of being back next year? Vic Fangio, Pat Shurmur, Drew Lock, or Teddy Bridgewater? Who's a better shot? In your mind, Michael, Mr. Diehard Bronco, who's a better shot of coming back next year?
That's a good question. I think they're all going to be back.
Who has the better shot? That's insanity if that's the case. Is that your fandom speaking?
No, that's
I can
not
never
my fandom
tell
speaking.
If I'm
I don't think they're going to make it too big of a move unless they...
That's the one area that you were bad in. Defensively was good. Running game, pretty good. You like your receivers.
If they're going to get rid of somebody, I think Teddy Bridgewater is the one person that they'll probably get rid of.
You think Pat Shurmur's coming back?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, even though he's been widely criticized, I think they're going to keep him.
There's no way. Best chance of coming back is Vic Fangio.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think they're going to... I think worst chance of coming back is Teddy Bridgewater.
I think it's Drew Lock. Or no, Pat Shurmur first. And then I think it's Drew Lock. And then I think it's Teddy. And then I think it's Vic. Those are your four key positions that have to be figured out. Not necessarily four, because backup quarterback, whatever. But you have to fix those three. 14 minutes after the hour. Nuggets talk coming up next with my guy, Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV. Don't miss it. They've got a nice schedule coming up. Can they go on a nice little run here? Will the NBA be rolling into the weekend and next week? I'm not so sure. We'll talk about it next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKN.
Basketball on the Voice of the Bears, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams. You're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
19 minutes after the hour. Welcome back. You're listening to The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. Joining me now on our First Advantage Hotline, Chris Dempsey, our Nuggets insider from Altitude TV. Chris, you'll be happy with this one. I am wearing my Nuggets Christmas ugly sweater that I learned about through Altitude, I think, 2 years ago. So I just wanted to throw that out, my friend. It's a little tight, but I absolutely love it. It's tight because of me, but I love it, my man.
Well, you mean because of all the muscles? Is that what you mean?
That's exactly where I was going. All the muscles, that's the problem. I gained a little too much muscle mass as we start this holiday season. That's how it goes.
I know exactly how you feel. You know, the shirts are always too tight when you're doing all the bench pressing and the bicep curls.
That's true, man. Well, I've seen yours. I mean, your biceps are bigger than Michael's. I mean, our producer back there. So yours are tight in the right spots with the biceps, man. It must be nice.
Well, we appreciate the love for sure. I mean, the Nuggets ugly sweaters are good items, and you know, it's the perfect time of year. And although it's, I don't know, what's the temperature in Denver? I'm in Oklahoma City. It's 60 degrees here.
I mean, I know. I'm actually sweating. I've been sweating all day. It's supposed to be fairly nice. I maybe cool off later in the week. Who knows? But it's not. It's, what is it right now, 40 out there? So it doesn't feel. We're not getting the Christmas vibes right now, for sure. But that's dedication, man. I got the sweater on.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You sacrifice no matter what.
All right. So, Chris, we saw this with the NHL. The NHL's on pause. What are you predicting, man? Is the NBA going to be able to get through this thing without taking some kind of a pause?
Yeah, they will. I don't expect that there will be many more missed games at all. And I think the NBA in the last couple of days has taken the extraordinary step of allowing teams just to add players. You know, if you lose a player, or you lose two players, you can add one. You lose three players, you can add two. You know, so their goal is to not lose a season, and they won't lose the season. I would be very, you know, as we get into the first full week of teams being able to add players, G League players, I would be very surprised that, let's say after Christmas is a Saturday, so next week, I don't think we'll lose any more games, period. I think the NBA has done everything that it can do to make sure that every team will have at least 8 healthy players to be able to play in these games from here on out. And, you know, they have not built this schedule. This schedule is not like last year. Last season, the schedule was they did the first half of the season first, and then they waited to do the second half of the season, and part of that was it due to the fact that they knew they might have to you know, have some postponements and add some games into the second half of the season, and that's what they did. But this season, the entire schedule came out. You know, it was all 82 games, and you know, in these cities where there's also hockey and maybe some lacrosse and Disney on Ice and everything else that is in an arena, you don't have built-in days for postponements just to be fit in. Like, I don't know when they're going to have the Nuggets come back to Brooklyn. You know, I mean, we just sat there in Brooklyn, and it was an interesting experience. Just we went to shoot around and came back to the hotel, and just before, you know, so I test daily to be able to be on the sidelines without a mask, and just before I was going to be able to was going to take my test, we started getting word that the game might be postponed, and then about a half hour after that, in fact, was postponed. So then that just gave us a whole day in Brooklyn. But the Nuggets only come back this way, I think, one more time. In March, they have a Philadelphia and Washington duo in the midst of a road trip. And so I don't know. And then obviously you have to have – Brooklyn has to have an off day, and the arena has to not be being used as well. So I don't know what's going to happen. But I would expect that the NBA plays all the games starting next week to the end of the season.
I mean, that's great news. You know, certainly don't want to see any kind of a pause or even worst case scenario not being able to finish the season out. But great news. But yeah, that Brooklyn one is interesting because the Nuggets have had, as you know, Chris, this absolute crazy travel schedule. I don't see the Nuggets wanting to sign up to say, hey, yeah, let's add one back into the mix after we've just been on these monster trips.
Yeah, that's going to be difficult. And for these teams, and it wasn't the Nuggets' fault, right? So it's, you know, it was Brooklyn's issue with COVID cases and injuries just depleting the roster to a level that they could not play. And, you know, for every team that's being impacted by the other teams, COVID issues, you know, they have to reschedule that game or find ways to fit that game in. And it really only matters because of playoff races and seeding and who's going to be in a play-in situation, who's not going to be in a play-in situation. So it's pretty imperative that some of these games do get played again. And, you know, especially in an NBA where the margins seem to be pretty thin in these conferences in terms of wins and losses outside of anybody chasing Golden State or Phoenix. I expect that these games will be rescheduled. It's just going to be very, very inconvenient, especially for the road teams, to have to go back to those cities, which they were already in at some point in the season where their schedule's probably already packed.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's going to be interesting to see how that side of it works out. Nuggets back at it. As you said, Chris, you're in OKC. Nuggets getting set. I'm looking at the schedule. I see the Warriors on there and obviously the Mavs, but I'm looking at like the next 10 to 20 games. It does seem like that schedule is going to soften up a little bit. You still have the stud games in there like Utah and Golden State, but perhaps the Nuggets can start to kind of put on a little bit of a run here.
Yeah, and they'll get some home games. You know, I think they begin January a little bit road heavy, and then it kind of subsides. So, yeah, they've gotten through the bulk of this madness. I mean, there's still a little bit to go. I mean, you know, they'll go, after we come back, and then they'll play Charlotte on Thursday, Christmas break, and then they're in L.A. and then in Golden State. So, and then they come back, and then they're on the road for Houston and Dallas, I believe, across the new year. So they still have a little bit to go, but they've survived the bulk of it for sure. And, you know, the other thing that's too bad about the Brooklyn game, just to be honest, this is from my perspective, is you were about to play a Brooklyn team without Kevin Durant,
right?
Is what you were going to do, you know, and, you know, that would have been just a very nice scenario to not have a Kevin Durant or a James Harden or a Kyrie Irving or a Joe Harris or anybody else that was, you know, that was really a significant player for them on the court. And that's just a game that you could have just gone in there and you know, gotten the W, got out of there and come to Oklahoma City. But, you know, the Nuggets are, when we last saw them in Atlanta, they were playing really well. And so, you know, for them to, you know, to get a few days off, you hope that doesn't get them out of that rhythm, but certainly they're looking forward to getting back on the court here in Oklahoma City tomorrow.
Chris, what can you tell us about, you know, status with everybody? Obviously, this team has just been depleted by injuries, and just when you think it can't get any worse, you see guys like Marcus Howard go down. What's the situation looking like? Big injuries to watch out for tomorrow?
Well, I think that actually one guy to watch who might make his return, I believe, would be Jermichael Green. I don't think he was going to play in Brooklyn due to that ankle injury. He was listed as doubtful, didn't go through much. But these extra days, I think, is going to allow him to get back on the court in some way, whatever way that they feel is best for him. So I would think that he's trending toward playing. I think they were also going to sit Aaron Gordon in Brooklyn, and so now that, you know, everybody got rest, including Aaron, so I think he'll play, and obviously he hasn't missed any time, so that's it's not an injury situation. I think that would have been more of a rest situation, but since everybody got rest, you know, I think he'll be back in the lineup. As for the big injuries, none of those guys, you know, Marcus Howard, PJ Dozier, MPJ, all those guys are still out, and will just remain so, and so the Nuggets will just go with what they've got. They brought back Davon Reed. I had a chance to talk to him a little bit, and so he'll play a role tomorrow, perhaps. But everybody who has been out will continue to be out, with the possible exception of Jermichael Green.
We're talking to Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV. Chris, where are you with this team right now? They're sitting at 15-14. It seemed like we had like an all-star break over the weekend because we haven't seen this team play since Friday.
Yeah.
But last time out, saw this team roll Atlanta. Bones Highland was fantastic, and we've seen those games, you know, from him where we're looking at him and saying, man, this guy's going to be special, no doubt about it. But I think we all kind of agree. Okay, who's going to be that guy while you're waiting on Jamal Murray? While you're waiting on who knows about Michael Porter Jr. For this season, doesn't look good. But who's going to be that guy consistently? That's kind of the Robin. I feel weird saying this to Joker's Batman. That is a lot of nerddom in one sentence there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think for in the case of Bones, you know, he was fantastic in Atlanta, and so honestly was Austin Rivers and Faku off the bench. It was really one of the best bench games they had all season long, and I think that's something that they would just love to continue to repeat here for the foreseeable future. I still think we're talking about Aaron Gordon and Will Barton to be the primary Robin figure that you're talking about. And, you know, on any given night, it could be anybody. I think they will lean on the veterans to do that because you don't want to lean on a rookie to, you don't want to put that kind of pressure on him as he's still learning the NBA and what it is just to even be in this league, much less, oh, we need you to score 19 points every single night. And so, I think they'll take that, obviously, when they can get that. They hope that they get that off the bench more often than they don't. And just as long as Bones is feeling good, I don't see why he wouldn't give that to them for the majority of the time. I mean, he's just too talented a player and for that not to be the case. But, you know, so I think he'll pop in some good games. It was really nice to see Austin Rivers kind of get back to himself and then speak toward that after the game was over, just – you know, how while he was out, you know, he watched clips of himself on the Synergy app, and the Synergy app is kind of a basketball film watching app that is available to players, coaches in the league. And so he was reviewing his own film, didn't like what he saw, was very honest with himself in terms of the attitude that he brought to the season and the energy level that he brought to the season. And what he was saying after that game is it just wasn't very high. And he owed the team more and wanted to be better coming back. And so he had a little bit of a, you know, he had to look himself in the mirror and ask himself, you know, what was happening early this season. He answered that question, immediately came out and played one of his best games of the season. So, you know, I think for the Nuggets, it's still going to be largely about catching a couple of other guys every single night along with Jokic. And you might not know who that's going to be every single night. They obviously will lean on the veterans, but certainly, you know, whoever it is, they'll take it and they'll just keep piecing it together. And right now, as you mentioned just a second ago, they're 15-14 and surviving a real road-heavy schedule of a portion of their schedule.
Yeah, road-heavy, injuries, weathering that storm, I suppose you could say, if they're over 500 at this stage. Chris, we'll be watching out for you guys tomorrow, 6 o'clock game against OKC. Dude, we just appreciate you so much. We love having you on the show. I'm off next week, but Merry Christmas to you and your family. Happy New Year. Our listeners absolutely love getting the Nuggets insight from you on a weekly basis, my friend.
Well, I really appreciate it. Appreciate everybody's support. Appreciate your support. Merry Christmas to you and all the people there as well. And we'll talk soon, and hopefully we'll be talking about a lot of Nuggets victories.
I like it, my friend. I'm here for it. We'll catch up with you soon. Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV, our Nuggets insider. Great guy. Chris is an amazing dude. And, you know, I remember when I first started in media, I went down to Nuggets practice. This was when Brian Shaw was the head coach for the Nuggets. And I went to training camp to try to talk, you know, obviously get clips, talk to players, blah, blah, blah. And I recognized Chris when he wrote for the Denver Post. I think he was still writing for the Denver Post at that point in time. So I walked up to Chris, shook my hand, told him I was a big fan of his stuff. I read it in high school. And I remember right there, then and there, he didn't know me. He gave me his cell phone address or his email address and said, dude, if you ever need anything at all, you let me know. And I think we've been having him on the program really since we started it. So we do appreciate Chris. He's an awesome guy, and we love his coverage on Altitude TV. 34 minutes after the hour, CSU Rams talk coming up next with Mike Brohard of CSURams.com. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
39 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Joining me now, Mike Brohard from CSURams.com and RamWire Insider. Mike, I was sure hopeful we were going to be getting set to preview a huge basketball game for Colorado State and Alabama. But obviously, with COVID, we're not out of the woods with that stuff just yet, and we're not able to get there.
No, it's just it's still kind of a sad reminder that this is where we are. You know, CSU really, I mean, coming up, you know, getting ranked, two big games in front of them. Fans were excited about them. They were excited to play those games. You know, team gets hit with a little bit of a COVID issue, and you know, the same thing happened to the women's basketball team. So it's a reminder that, you know, we're not quite out of the woods with all of this yet.
Mike, how much can you tell us? More precautionary for Colorado State? Are we potentially looking at more games, or what does that look like, at least at this point, or what can you give us?
Right now, I think they're taking everything day by day. I think they're still, both teams are very hopeful that they're going to play their conference openers, that it's not going to linger on that long. So I think they both open up. I know the women open up the 28th at home. That's supposed to be our next home event at CSU. And I know they're very hopeful that they're going to be able to play that game.
Mike Brohard joining us from CSURams.com. On the men's side of it for Colorado State, they didn't play, but they did move up a couple of spots. I mean, you know, it's a lot of negatives we've talked about throughout the weekend as far as the COVID situation goes for CSU. But if you don't have to play and you can move up a couple of spots, I think you'll take that.
Yeah, I think they'd take that, but I think they would rather play the games, yeah. Obviously. They were both good contests for them, and you don't really want this long a layoff before you go into conference play. You're talking basically almost 2 weeks off because, you know, they were going to play. They were going to play tonight and then be off until conference started. That's a week. Now they're virtually, it's been since last Saturday or the Saturday before they played. So that's a long break to kind of take off and, you know, and get your legs, you know, back in game. You've got to get back into game shape, I guess, a little bit. And wear some, you know, work some of that rust off.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Mike, how much do you know about this? I've just seen this on Twitter. Some of the fans that were set to go watch CSU play Alabama. Do you know? Now, obviously, Alabama got a different game in. Do you know if Rams fans are getting those that ticket refunded, or have you heard anything on that side of it? Because I know there was a lot of Rams fans wondering and perhaps getting ready to be upset.
I haven't heard of what's going on. So, like, if they bought them through Alabama or got them through the arena in Birmingham and they're putting on another game, those tickets would probably be good for that, and they might not switch them. I don't know. I haven't checked in on that. I'm sure if they got them through CSU.com, they'll be able to exchange those tickets for other games.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see how that one unfolds. Colorado State, of course, 10-0. We're looking at Mountain West Conference play. What do you make of the conference so far, Mike? Wyoming's 9-1. You got Fresno State 9-2. San Diego State 7-3. I wanted to kind of gauge your thoughts overall at this conference, as we're approaching here, and you know the Rams, they're going to have that big target on their back.
Yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting conference, and I still don't think anybody should discount what, you know, San Diego State's going to do. They're always there. I know there's been some questions about maybe the strength of schedule that Wyoming's played, but the interesting thing about conference play is all the time is there are some new faces on a lot of these teams. So there's something to get used to. But, again, you get back to it where these teams know each other really well, what they want to do, what they're good at. CSU isn't going to surprise a ton of people because, I mean, really, if you think about it, they bring everybody back virtually from last year's team. The conference knows what they want to do and how they're going to want to try and stop it. So these games get to have that more of a familiar feel, especially the second round when you go back through this on the back end. That familiarity, I think, tightens some things up in a lot of instances.
Yeah, well, I think that's going to be a lot of fun to see how this conference kind of plays out. And, of course, the Rams going at it against New Mexico coming up on, the 28th. That's where we are next. So we'll keep our eyes out. Mike, what are you working on for us the next couple of days that we can check out at CSURams.com?
To be honest with you, I'm working on Four Fingers of Good Stuff and watching two bowl games today.
Hey.
So I'm taking a couple of days off.
Okay, good.
I worked a little bit this morning. Worked yesterday, but, you know, 'tis the season. for, you know, bowl season. So, yeah, I've got the Wyoming game on right now, and San Diego State plays right after that. So I love watching bowl games. I love watching all the bowl games. And it's a good reason to just sit here and really, like I said, pour four fingers of something you really enjoy and kind of enjoy the day.
Hey, I love it, man, Mike. And we're saying this, so we do appreciate your insight on this program. I'm off next week, and, you know, it just kind of got me thinking. I sure appreciate all of our insiders that jump on the program and really give us that insight that we're not able to get on a daily basis. So from all of our listeners out there, dude, we just appreciate you giving us time each and every week to talk all things Colorado State.
No, it's great. I appreciate you showing interest in Colorado State and letting me talk about the good things that are happening there, the athletes that we have, the coaches that we have, and kind of spread the word of what CSU is about athletically.
Boy, and it's an exciting time, too, isn't it, with all things Colorado State? I mean, so many fans are so pumped right now and excited about this, all these programs.
Yeah, there's a lot of things to feel really good about right now. I mean, obviously the basketball teams are doing really well. You know, the football vibe is completely different right now. You know, you look at some of the other sports, you know, we're really good at track, and we will be again. And the cross-country team is coming up, placing 17th nationally, and they've done it with a couple Colorado kids. And swim team's 13-0. You know, tennis team's got a doubles team ranked higher than one's ever been in program history. So there is a lot to be excited about at Colorado State, really across the board.
Yeah, no doubt, man. You do a great job, and we love following you along at CSURams.com and with Rams Wire. Mike, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. I will talk to you, I guess, in the new year. So we'll get at it again in 2022.
That sounds great, and I wish you, your family, and all your listeners a Merry Christmas.
All right, my friend. That's Mike Brohard from CSURams.com. Appreciate him and RamWire. Check out his stuff. He's been doing this for a long time. He's been writing about Colorado State for a long time, so we do appreciate him taking the time to be with us. We appreciate the Hooligans, too. 46 minutes after the hour, short break, and we're going to wrap up the show on the other side. Power to Play Sports poll question. Are you excited for Drew Locke to start this weekend against the Raiders, or are you kind of over all of it? Over Drew Locke, over the Broncos? Count me in. I am all in on Drew Locke starting and maybe bringing some excitement to this offense. We'll be right back.
Want sports from the coach? Tune in to Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Joel Cantalamessa from RamNation.com. You're listening to my man, Brady Hall, and The Hall Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is interesting. A little breaking news on this Tuesday afternoon on The Hull Show. We got this coming in moments ago. There it is. Yeah. Proud of you. Altitude and Comcast have agreed to enter a formal settlement conference, paving the way for a potential resolution to the dispute.
Oh, good. Now I can watch Avs games.
There you go. You can watch Avs and Nuggets games. And if you need to go to a place to watch the games in the meantime, you can go over to the GOAT. Yeah, they've got the hookup over there. I've been watching Avs and Nuggets games all the time, so whatever, because I have DirecTV.
Or maybe you could get a VPN.
A what?
A VPN. I'm not going to explain it.
Okay. What is that? Star Trek talk or what?
Well, no. It's like, so you can go on the internet, say using a server in Dallas, and it thinks that you're in Dallas, so you can watch the Avalanche here in Greeley without, you know, with that little workaround.
There you go. Was that
without
Captain
signing
Kirk
up for anything?
Okay, I don't know about that kind of stuff. Okay, I've had DirecTV. I haven't had to worry about it. Haven't had to worry about any of that stuff.
I have Comcast.
So that's good. Stickman says, Brady, predictions on CU tonight against Kansas. Do they even stand a chance? I can't. Listen, when you go back and look at Colorado and their, you know, the ranked games that they played, they've had some moments in those games. When you go back to the UCLA game, the Tennessee game, it wasn't, I mean, they end up losing 73-61 to UCLA and then 69-54 to Tennessee. They were down at 10 at the half and then just kind of, I mean, battled back to stay kind of somewhat close against Tennessee, but they just got off to a terrible start. And UCLA, they, again, getting off to terrible starts. I think they were outscored like 40-20 or something in that first half of UCLA. They end up only winning by, or losing by 12. They outscored both opponents, or they outscored UCLA in the second half. They only, I think they were outscored by 3 or 5 against Tennessee. So the thing is, if you want to beat a team like Kansas, you have to get off to a better start. You have to get off to a much better start, and that's part of being a young basketball team with Colorado. You got number 7 presenting a huge challenge tonight against Colorado. And the Buffs, again, as I said, lost both of those games against ranked teams. And Jayhawks are on a 5-game winning streak. So they're 10-point favorites, the Jayhawks are. Ooh, I don't know. It's on ESPN2 tonight, though, 7 o'clock. I don't think so. Do they stand a chance? I think they stand a chance, but you can't come up so empty in the first half. You have to stay in touch by the time the second half rolls around. CU so far has kind of been a better second-half team. But I'm not going to give you the win, Stickman. Not going to do it, man. I don't think the Buffs do it. But then again, Tad Boyle, little Jayhawk magic. Tad Boyle, of course, was a pretty damn good player for Kansas. Maybe, and it is at home, so perhaps a shot. I'm just not going to go there. Power to Play Sports poll question of the day is, are you excited to see Drew Locke play on Sunday? And now it's 50-50. How about that? At thewholeshow.com, go vote. I want to see how this one works out. This was like 70% no, like an hour ago. Now it's sitting at 50-50. I'm excited. I'm all in. Let's go. Let's see what he's got. Just don't call stupid plays like Pat Shurmur did. Don't run read options. Don't run stuff like that. Just, I'm for lack of a better term, dumb it down. Run your style, a traditional style of offense. Run the ball. Set him up for success. Don't throw things at him that you were not going to throw at Teddy Bridgewater. It's ridiculous. They're not that different of a player. They're not that different. It's not Kyle Orton and Tim Tebow here. Give him the best chance to win on Sunday. And I guess we'll find out. You got football on a Tuesday. How about that? More importantly, we got UNC in action tonight. Jerry Schimmel's on the call. 5:30 pregame, the PDC Energy pregame, and then 6 o'clock, UNC going at it against Northern New Mexico. That's going to do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.